bottom of page 9, volume 30, 12, 21, 31. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, Our Lady of the divine indwelling, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus says, this is the sign, now that this is important, that the soul has received the divine beginnings into her acts, the continuation. Okay, this is the sign. It is a long, drawn-out act, God says God, dwelling in the soul and in her acts. So what Jesus is saying to us, think of all the hours that you wasted watching television. They said that the children on the iPhones, this was a few years ago, wasted, was it 6 million hours of wasted time? And so Jesus is saying he wants us to repair and redo everything. So this is a long, drawn-out act, breathing in the divine will, beating our hearts, beating the divine will, letting Jesus gaze in our gazing and listen in our listening. It's a long, drawn-out act, says God, dwelling in the soul. That's what he wants in us. And in her acts, it says confirmation of the good, because the value, the grace, the power of its continued act is so great that it fills all the little voids of the intensity of divine love. So everything is filled. Everything is filled with the love of God. All those hours of wasted time. I mean, think about all the events of the world. You know, theater. You know, all that stuff. It's without God. To the children. You know, a lot of people say, "What happened to the children?" Well, if they were watching Sesame Street, it was to be happy without Jesus. It's to live without Jesus. But go to the Count Dracula. Go to the Cookie Monster. Go to those that are apart and fall in love with them. See, television is one of the things that the head of the Satanic Order said. It was that I don't care what you watch as long as the TV is on. If the TV is on, then they're being hypnotized. And that's really the plan of the evil one, is being hypnotized. If you could be hypnotized with the pulsation of the television, where you can sit, as the Opus Sanctorum Angelorum says, it's the hypnotic eye of death. That television is the hypnotic eye of death. You sit there, whether you're 8 or 80, and you're mesmerized for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. That's all got to stop with us. You know, television has to... Well, what about EWTN? Okay, EWTN is good, but it's not divine will. It's you have to get into listening to Jesus. He wants to speak to us, and that's what he's doing here. He says, the divine will fills the little voids with intensity of divine love, the little weaknesses to which the human nature is subject. The divine will, when you do your acts in the divine will, rounds the divine will, it's a continuous act of virtue. It is like a judge, the order, and the sentry of the soul. This is why I, God, care so much that your acts be continuous, because there is something of my own inside each of them. And I, God, would feel my act dishonored in yours. So what Jesus is saying is, don't be caught up in the things of this world. That's why I just kept on saying, we've got to be Catholic. We've got to become Catholic again. And that means our focus, our intention, is what the truths of the church teach. And if you're not reading, if you haven't read the Dogma and Doctrine of our faith, you know, it's sometimes long and boring, but it's filled with light and life. So what Jesus has done is he says, I want you to enter into my church. I want you to enter fully in as Catholics. So this is why he's given us the Book of Heaven. The Book of Heaven is not for theologians. The Book of Heaven is for children. And that's what Jesus is asking. He's asking us to begin to read this and listen to Jesus. He's talking to us. So he's saying, what I want is I want you to begin to learn how to pray the rounds. As a matter of fact, from volume 16 to volume 36, he keeps on saying, this is the prayer I want you to learn. So he says, this is how Our Lady prayed. This is how our Lord prayed. This is how Adam prayed before the fall. And now what Jesus is saying is, I want you to begin to pray with these powerful prayers. Again, we love the prayers of St. Francis. We love the prayers of St. Gertrude. We love the prayers of St. Ignatius. We love all those prayers. But they're not spoken by Jesus. They're saintly prayers. They're good prayers. They're holy prayers. When you enter into the divine will, you're beginning to pray the way Jesus prayed. Wow, what did he do for 30 years? He taught Louisa what he did. Our Lady taught Louisa how she prayed. And when you begin to pray the rounds, when you begin to pray and do your acts and rounds of the divine will, everything changes for you. So volume 30, 530, 1932, therefore, in the ardor of its love, with its continuous empire, it can be said that it is a continual baptism, an absolution never interrupted, a communion of each instant. More so, since this divine will of ours is given to man in the beginning of his creation as perennial life dwelling in him. So when you think about baptism, we remember our baptism. When we think about absolution, we remember our confessions. Jesus says, no, I want more than that. I want this to be continuous. So what he would do with Louisa, this is always fun. Louisa, every day would be... she would die. Jesus would crucify Louisa every day. And then every day, Louisa would come back to life. And she said to Jesus, well, if you're going to let me die, let me go to heaven. And Jesus says, no, I want to see you reborn continuously. And that's what he wants to do with us. It's not like the Protestants say, I'm reborn. No, it's continuous rebirth. What happens? What does that mean? It's a brand new life at every instant, every instant, every instant. It's never boring. It's never ordinary. It's always new. And when you think of new, always think of the word God. It's new heavens and a new earth. It's God's heaven and God's earth. That's what's coming. It's a whole new way of living, God's way of living. This was the sustenance, the first of creation, our divine will that was to form our divine life in the soul. And with this life, we, Triune God, gave everything. There was nothing Adam might need, which he would not be able to find in this great divine will of ours. It can be said that Adam would have had at his disposal anything that Adam might want. Help, divine strength, divine sanctity, the divine light, everything was placed in Adam's power. And my divine will, Jesus says, took on the commitment of to give Adam anything he wanted, as long as he would give it dominion and would let it dwell in his soul. Do you see what that is? Right now, you know, you pray your rosary and you're done. In the divine will, it's prayer that never ends. It's always praising God, always glorifying God. Your prayer becomes gazing. Your prayer becomes listening, letting Jesus listen and you're listening. Why? That's the divine act. Humans can't do divine acts. Jesus, gaze in my gazing. That's the divine act. Jesus is doing that. Jesus, speak in my speaking. Jesus is doing that. It's not human. It sounds human, it looks human, but it's not. Jesus is doing it. Jesus says, I will. Remember St. Dina Balaguer? She died. Oh, what Jesus said, you're going to die on this day. So she told all the nuns, I'm going to die on this day. Jesus told me. So all the nuns got there on the day. They had their candles lit. They stood around her bed and they waited and they waited and they waited. She didn't die. So they blew out their candles and go, this guy's nuts. No, so they left the room. And then then 2 weeks later, Jesus appeared to her. And she says, I guess, Jesus, I misunderstood. You said I was going to die. And Jesus says, you did die. You're not here. I am your divine substitute. And when your body dies, when this body dies, he says, you will see in heaven that I was your divine substitute for the rest of your life. You have been in heaven, but you can't see it at this point. She did not live in the divine will. That's not the divine will. Louisa lived in the divine will. Dina Bellinger, God was so happy with Louisa that he was sharing some of the beauties that he gave to Louisa. But Dina Bellinger did not live in the divine will. Some people said she did, but that's not true. If they say she did, they're not reading the divine will. Jesus says it's you, Louisa. You were the firstborn. You were the newborn. And the first one next to you, Louisa, that will live in the divine will is the Holy Father. And then when that happens, all mankind will enter into this gift. The kingdom will be on earth as it is in heaven. See, we're at the very beginning of this. And what God is asking of us is, get this thing done quickly. Pray for it. Plead God. May your kingdom come with every thought, every word, every deed. And when you do this, begin to live it. What's the kingdom? Peace, joy, and happiness. No worries, no fears, no anxieties, no complaints, no negativities, no sin. Begin to live this life. And that's what Jesus is asking. He's saying, my divine will took on the commitment to give Adam anything Adam wanted, and as long as he would give the divine will dominion and would let the divine will reign in the soul. Therefore, it was not necessary to institute the sacraments when Adam was created, because in my divine will, Adam possessed the origin. Adam possessed the life of all goods. The sacraments, as means as help, of helps, of medicines, of forgiveness, had no reason to exist. We need the sacraments now. Even though we have been redeemed, we haven't been sanctified yet. Therefore, there is no greater evil than the creature can do to herself, nor greater wrong that the soul can do to our parental goodness than not letting our most holy divine will reign in her. Do you hear what Jesus is saying? The greatest evil is not letting the divine will reign in us. We have to begin to understand this. That's why I said in the homily today, we got to begin to live this life with divine zeal. This is everything to Jesus. And he says, where is your excitement? Where is your desire? If it were in her power, she would induce us, this is Jesus says, the soul, to destroy the whole creation, because the creature was made to be our divine dwelling. The soul was made for God to reign in us. Why did God create us? There were no other gods out there. And so what does he do? He creates creatures to breathe in them divine life. Why? So that we can give to God what is God's. It's like another God giving God divinity. Do you see why God created us? He wants us to breathe in this divine life and then give it back to him. And God goes into ecstasy, he says. Why? He's receiving from outside of himself, as if we were other gods. But we're not. We're creatures. And this is what he's expecting of us. He wants to dwell in us. Why? So he can give to himself what is himself. I mean, God, you have to understand, God is so beautiful. He's so holy. He's so perfect. He's so loving that if we saw God right now, we would die of ecstasy. He's so beautiful. He's so perfect. So what Jesus is saying to us, let me begin to gaze in your gazing. Why? Because you're going to see me, Jesus says. You're going to see me and live. And that's what it says in Scripture. When we see God, we will become like him. Listen to what he says. And not only her, but all created things, heaven, sun, the earth, everything, since they are all works that come out of our supreme height, we, triune God, have the right to inhabit them. And by inhabiting them, we preserve them with decorum, beautiful and always new, always of God. And in the act in which we issued them into the light, but now by not doing our divine will, the soul puts herself out of our divine dwelling. And it happens to us as would happen to a rich lord, who wanting to build a great and beautiful palace for himself, when he had finished it, goes to live in it, the doors shut in his face. The stones hurl themselves at him in such a way that he is forced to stay out of it, prevented from living in the house that he himself had formed. It would not deserve, would it not be deserved to be destroyed by the one who has formed it? That's why this purification is coming. Jesus says, I have to purify the world, I have to purify the church before I give this gift to mankind. The world doesn't deserve it. It's so far from me, Jesus says, that I have to purify the world first. So what's happening in the church is purification. Good. Good. Quickly get it purified. Why? So that the kingdom can come. Our families are being purified. Good. I mean, in Oka Santorum in Shalom, I've been a member for quite a while. It was 1976. And what happened, this is even before it was made, that's according to Father Wagner. What happened at that point was we studied, and it says to the angels, holy angels, treat me as you would a stubborn mule. Beat me into submission. That's what we're stubborn mules. You know, and Jesus has to use 2x4s against us sometimes. And so be it. Yeah, I say to some of the people, you know, who are angry with God, I said, well, it's God wants you to be happy. I said, but if you don't want to follow him, you know, I'll see you in the hospital. And it always happens. And see, my first pastor would say that to me. He would say, you can do it the wrong way or you can do it my way. He was always right. It's God's way. We have to do everything God's way. We are nothing. God is everything. And this is what Jesus is looking for. He's looking for us to allow him to reign in us. 5:31, 10, 21, 19, 32. My daughter, do not fear. In order to reassure you, I want to tell you the sign when I, God, dwell inside and when I, God, depart. If the soul submits herself to my most holy divine will, loves the divine will, gives the divine will the first place, this is the sign that I, God, dwell within that soul, because my presence has the virtue of keeping the human will submitted to mine. On the other hand, if she feels rebellious to my divine will, this is a sure sign that I, God, have withdrawn. See, it's fiat. See, what is the sure sign? Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. That's the sure sign that God isn't there. He says, if you're not peaceful, I can't be there. If you're not peaceful, I will not share in your misery. I can't. So what happens is what we learn is fiat. As you say fiat, everything becomes easy. Everything becomes beautiful. Everything becomes of God. Even the tragedies. Look at Our Lady at the foot of the cross. Fiat. And that's what Jesus is teaching us. 5:31, 1:18, 19:33. But who can tell you the so many sorrows of my sacramental life and how it is more than those who receive me and put me in the loneliness of their hearts, but bitter loneliness than those who keep me company? That's the same thing. How many hours do you spend in front of the Blessed Sacrament? How many hours are you in love with Jesus in front of the Blessed Sacrament? I know some people that say, well, I've spent my hour. And what do? I read a book. I said, hey, so you go to your grandmother's, you sit down, you go, hi, and you read your book. After an hour, time's up, I got to go, bye. Really nice grandchild you are. Same thing with Jesus. You go in and read a book. Jesus says, the thing to Louisa, the thing that he loves the most is the I love you, I love you, I love you, with every heartbeat, with every breath. And it's his I love you that we love him with. See, when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, it's not to put in your time card. Got my time in, got my rosary in. It's to fall in love with Jesus. It's to fall in love with Mary. And even St. Francis says that. If you're praying and are not filled with joy, you're not praying. Prayer is joy-filled. You're in communion with God. This is what God's waiting for. And so he says this. The sure sign that I'm not there is you're doing your human will. The sure sign that I am there is the divine will is everything. So you spend time each day reading the volumes. You spend time each day. Volume 31, 1, 18, 1933. Okay, I did that. When I find a heart that keeps me company, I place my life in communication with her, leaving her the deposit of my divine virtues, the fruit of my divine sacrifice, the participation of my divine life, and I choose that soul as my dwelling, as the hiding place of my pains, as the place of my refuge, and I feel as though repaid for the sacrifice of my Eucharistic life, because I finally find a soul who breaks for me my loneliness, who dries my tears, who gives me the freedom to pour out my divine love, my divine sorrows. These are the ones who serve me as living species, not like the sacramental species that give me nothing. They only hide me. All the rest I do on my own. But these souls tell me, the Eucharist does not tell me a word that would break my loneliness. They are a mute species. While the souls who serve me as living species, we carry out our life together. We palpitate from the one same heartbeat. We see her disposed. I communicate my pains to her. I continue my passion in her. I can say that from the sacramental species, I pass to the living species to continue my life on earth, not alone, but together with that soul. So Jesus is saying, I'm tired of being alone. I'm alone in the tabernacle, and nobody visits me. And so Jesus is saying, would you visit me, but not outside the divine will, in the divine will, so you can be in with and through me as I am in with, through, and for you. See, it's to be one with God. It's to enter into that oneness with God. Again, the saints can't teach you this. It's Jesus who taught Louisa. Louisa put everything down on paper so we could be taught by Jesus. Remember, Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will reveal to you all truths and will remind you of everything that I have said. That is the divine will. The Spirit of truth. What did Jesus say to Louisa? The Holy Spirit is going to fill you with divine treasures, divine truths. He's revealing to us what Jesus wants from us, not just to be good and holy and saintly, but to live in the divine will. So when you look at volume 1 through volume 10, it's how to become a divine mirror of Jesus. When you look at volume 11 through volume 19, it's how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit, and no saint was ever taught that. Jesus says, it's you, Louisa, you alone that's been taught this. And then finally, it's not even St. Honorable de Francia learned this, but volume 20 through volume 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. This is what God is asking. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be filled to the brim and overflowing with the life of God, the light of God, the love of God. This is what this gift is. Volume 32, 4/29/1933. Therefore, each act of my divine will that she keeps on doing, every heartbeat, every breath, every blink of your eye, she takes heaven. She keeps expanding her celestial properties, and I, God myself, administer to the soul the sowing and making myself the celestial farmer. What? I sow together with her the most beautiful divine virtues And there I, God, form my dwelling. I, God, form my refuge. I, God, form my delights. And I find no difference between being in heaven together with the saints in the celestial regions and being in heaven on this creature on earth. We begin heaven now, Jesus says. Don't wait until you die. You're not going to get it. You've probably spent a long time in purgatory. Got to begin it now. No worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, no sin. But rather, I take more delight in being in the heaven of the human will on earth because in it, I, God, have work to do. Jesus, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating, walk in my walking. Jesus is doing that in order to expand this heaven even more so I can make new gains and receive new loves never before seen. See, when we say, Jesus, breathe in my breathing, we're giving him permission to breathe in us as our God, never before seen. It's brand new, never before done. I remember the first time I listened to the radio when I said to Jesus, you know, I never let you listen to the radio. Listen, in my listening, the Lord was happy. Why? I let him hear. He's a gentleman. He didn't come in and say, get out of the way, let me listen. He waits for us to say, Lord, listen in my listening. Jesus, praying in my praying. Jesus, dance in my dancing. Jesus, sing in my singing. He waits for us to say that. Again, he's waiting for us to do this. New gains, new love. Vine 32, 7:30, 1933. My blessed daughter, you must know, again, this is a command from Jesus, that the one, Luisa, excuse me, that one who does my will, Luisa Picaretta, forms the dwelling place for my supreme will. And just as a dwelling has no reasons, nor is free to do what it wants, only serves as custody, as defense, and as comfort to the one who dwells in it, in the same way the soul loses her reason, human reason, and begins with divine reason. That's what God wants. He doesn't want you to think humanly anymore. Oh, that's not impossible. Yeah, for you it's not. Jesus, think in my thinking. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. Jesus, let me see the divine understanding that you understand. I don't want to think humanly anymore. Voluntarily surrenders the rights of lordship to my divine will. You, Jesus, be the Lord of my thoughts. I don't want to think anymore. I want you to think in my thinking. And remains as custody, as defense, as comfort for my divine will, which carries out a life at its best, as it best pleases. Now the human will, by doing my own, not only changes into a dwelling place for my divine will, but shall remain as an honored dwelling, which my fiat shall adorn with divine adornments. And this its dwelling shall form its royal palace, which shall leave the very angels astonished, making a display of divine love, of divine sanctity, of divine light, of uncreated divine beauty, forming its divine life and its life operating in the human will of the creature. That's Jesus doing it, not us anymore. The only thing we can do in the human will is be miserable. And Jesus says, stop it. Let me reign. Let me be the Lord of your life. This is why we look at Our Lady. Look at Our Lady. She's not looking with her eyes. She's looking with the eye of God. That's what Jesus wants. He wants us to see. He wants us to see with his seeing, his understanding, with his understanding, divine understanding. That's what God's waiting for. Time is short. You have to remember this. You have to remember when Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of time. We're trapped in time. We're trapped in space. What does that mean? When time ends, what does that mean? You enter into eternity. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of time. It's the end of this era. It's very close. You have to understand that. I mean, what did Father Gobi say in 19... What did Our Lady tell Father Gobi in 1997? Everything's complete. It's all there. What did Our Lady say in these apparitions? When they stop, she'll never appear on earth again. What does that mean? She won't have to appear. She will be here. It won't be an apparition. It won't be a vision. It'll be a reality. You have to understand, time is very, very short. And Jesus wants us to get ready, get ready, get ready. How are you going to get ready? By reading and studying and putting into practice this new and abundant life that God wants us to enter. What is that? That's sanctification. It's not about being good and holy and saintly. It's about entering into divinity, to be in that drop of water that the priest puts in the chalice filled with wine. Volume 32, 8, 13, 1930. These are all signs that the soul lives in my divine will. In fact, to say that she lives in the divine will, not knowing where the royal palace is that offers itself to be her dwelling, would be like not to appreciate, because things, people's places, when they are not known, are not appreciated. To say I live in the divine will and not know the divine will is absurd. I love it when people say, well, I don't have to read Louisa. I'm already living in the divine will. I want it, so I have it. Baloney. If you don't know it, it's absurd. Those are the words of Jesus. If you don't know it, it's absurd to say that you're even close. Jesus says this, and if she does not know it, it is not a reality, but it's only a way of speaking. While the first thing that my divine will does is to reveal itself, to make itself known to the soul who wants to live together with the divine will, with God. So knowing where she dwells, she knows that she is dealing with so holy a will that wants everything in order to give her everything. Everything. This is sharing in divinity. This is what God wants for us. Again, if you have one venial sin, you can't go to heaven. One venial sin, you can't go to heaven. And there's been many saints claimed by the church who had to go to purgatory for a long time. Jesus says, if you're living in my divine will, you can't go to purgatory. Because I am there. My mother is there, and we can't be judged. Do you see the difference? Do you see what God is asking? So he says, now you must know. And again, this is a command from Jesus Christ. There is the book you must know. Go through it. Over and over and over, go through it. You will be astonished what Jesus will teach you. You must know this, Jesus says. You have to know this. That the soul in grace is the temple of God. And when the soul lives in our most holy divine will, God makes himself temple of the soul. And oh, the great difference between the creature, temple of God, and God, temple of the soul. So there's two things. The creature becomes the temple of God. You receive Jesus in the Eucharist. And God, the temple of the soul. The first is the temple exposed to dangers. We go to communion every day. We're exposed to dangers. We're exposed to enemies. We're subject to our passions. And many times God's supreme will finds himself in these temples as if temples of stone, unattended, not loved, as God should be loved. And the little lamp of her continuous love, which the soul should keep in homage to her God who dwells within her, without the pure oil is extinguished. And if, God forbid, she falls into grave sin, our temple collapses and is occupied by thieves and our enemies and hers who profane it and make havoc of it. The simple second temple, this is what God wants for us. You have to learn this. The second temple is that of God. The temple of the soul. is not exposed to dangers. The enemies can't get close. That's why I said the devil can't get near you. You have to understand this. Jesus is there. Mary is there. The enemies can't get close. The passions lose life. In this divine temple of God's, the soul is like the little host that holds her Jesus consecrated within it. Do you hear that? This is the Lord said to Saint Faustina, you must become a living host. See, that's in her writings. You must become a living host. What Jesus tells Louisa is how to become a living host. This is what it is, and this is what it is. It says, she holds Jesus consecrated within it. With a perennial love that she draws, she receives, she feeds on, she forms the little lamp of, what does it say here? Always alive, always burning, without ever becoming... extinguish. This is our temple. It occupies its royal palace, its royal place, its fulfilled will. It is our glory. It is God's triumph. Do you see what God is doing? See, we don't even understand what God wants for us. The second temple is in the divine will. That is of God. It is the temple of the soul that is not exposed to dangers. The devil cannot get close. The passions lose life. There's no worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, or sin. In this temple of ours, the soul is like the little host that holds her Jesus consecrated within it. With a perennial love that she draws, she receives, she feeds on, she forms a little lamp, a life always burning without ever becoming extinguished. This, our temple, God says, occupies its royal place. This, our temple, fulfills God's will. It is God's glory. It is God's triumph. When you think of the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, you're getting a glimpse of what God wants. He wants each of us to become a living host in the temple, God. Do you see what God's... to be like Jesus. That's the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. To become like Jesus. That's her triumph. That's what she's waiting for. Volume 32, 10:15, 1933. My blessed daughter Louisa, there is nothing more beautiful, nothing more holy, nothing more enjoyable, and that pleases us, Triune God, and glorifies us, Triune God, more than forming the life of our divine volition, our divine will in the soul. Do you want to do something for God? More beautiful, more holy, more enjoyable, that pleases and glorifies God more than anything? Is letting the divine life of the divine will be formed in us. Do you see what God's calling us to? He did not give this to the saints. Not even Dina Bellinger. It was grace overflowing that she received from the divine will. But it wasn't the divine will. Jesus says, you're my divine substitute. No, I'm your divine substitute. Jesus wants us to begin to let him become alive in us. I mean, there's no limit to this. In her is formed a little paradise into which our supreme being delights in descending to form in it its divine dwelling. You see, instead of our one paradise, we have two in which we find our harmonies. And the beauty that enraptures us, the pure joys that double our happiness, because we, Triune God, have formed one more life of ours in the brief circle of the creature. One more divine life. In this paradise, little as it is, for as much as the creature can be capable of, we, Triune God, find everything. Everything is God's. We participate in God. Volume 33, 7/24, 1934. The essence of our life is recognized by the speaking of my divine will. The essence of the life of God is recognized by listening to Jesus speak to Louisa. Reading what Jesus said to Louisa. The essence of God's life is recognizing Jesus speaking to Louisa. In my word, my fiat bilocates. It repeats our divine life in the midst of creatures. Nor is there greater glory for us, triune God, or fullness of outpouring of our excessive love, other than in seeing our divine life bilocated. That's the gift of the divine will, is bilocation. And it's not the bilocations of the saints. The gift that Jesus gives the souls of the divine will is bilocation. What is it? Seeing our life bilocated in the creature. In order to give itself, to graft itself, to centralize itself in that soul as our own dwelling. That's the bilocation that we're going to receive. As much as the creature is capable of. 30, 60, or 100-fold. It is one more kingdom of our divine love. One more kingdom of our divine will that we, triune God, acquire. Do you see what God is doing? This is not holy. It's divine. Creation is done. Redemption is happening right now. What is going to explode through the world, what's going to set the world on fire, is sanctification. That's what's coming. That's what's coming. If you know anything about the Feast of Tabernacles, it started last night in Israel, and they all celebrate this feast where they proclaim God as King of Israel. They're dancing and singing and celebrating. In Israel. This is the only Jewish feast that isn't Catholic. They have Hanukkah, we have Christmas. They have Passover, we have Holy Week. They have Pentecost, we have Pentecost. They have Tabernacles, we don't have it yet. Last night was the Hunter Moon. You have to understand, everything is happening. And Jesus is asking us to get ready for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The second Pentecost. The first Pentecost, you have the rhubarb and the strawberries and the asparagus, the first fruits, and you celebrate. The final harvest we don't have yet. That's when God collects everything, all the fruit, everything that's been growing for 2,000 years. It's something that's coming is going to be amazing. What God has got planned is going to be amazing. And God has asked us to be alive at this time. St. Teresa said, I wanted to live in the final days. She said, I knew something was coming. It's what's coming, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. Everything we were living for is fiat. Let it be done as you say. And what God is going to do. So he says this, volume 33, 531, 1935, you must know that in creating Adam, our life was placed in Adam, and Adam was our dwelling. Now, if we do not bring to safety this life of ours with its decorum, with its dominion, with our full triumph, making ourselves known that we, triune God, are present in this dwelling of man, so that the creature would feel honored and to be dominated and inhabited by a God, if we do not do this, it would mean that our power is limited and that it might not be infinite, that it has no power to save itself, even less it can it save others. While on the contrary, true good and power, the power has no limit and serves to bring to safety itself first and then it pours into others. Now, by coming upon earth, suffering and dying, I, Jesus, came to bring man to safety, that is my dwelling. And would it not seem strange to you, too, that while I was saving the dwelling, the owner, the inhabitant of it, would be left without his rights, without his dominion, without its power to reach safety himself? No, my daughter. It would be absurd and without the order of our infinite wisdom. Redemption and the kingdom by divine will are one single thing, inseparable from each other. My coming upon earth came to form the redemption of man, and at the same time it came to form the kingdom of my divine will in order to save myself, to take back my rights which by justice are due to me as creator. And in redemption, I expose myself to so many humiliations, to unheard of pains, to dying crucified, I, Jesus, submitted myself to everything to bring my dwelling to safety and restore in it all the sumptuousness, all the beauty, all the magnificence which I, God, had formed it, so that it might be worthy of me once again. It was my resurrection that made me known for who I was and placed the seal over all the goods that I came to bring upon earth. In the same way, my divine will shall be the double seal. It should be the transmission into creatures of its kingdom, which my humanity possessed. More so, since it was for the creatures that I formed this kingdom by my divine will within my holy humanity, why not give it then? It shall be a matter of time. But for us, triune God, times are of one single point. Our power shall make such prodigies, lavishing upon man new graces, new love, new light. Let's change that again. God's graces, God's love, God's light, that our dwellings shall recognize us, and they shall themselves, of their own spontaneous human will, shall give us dominion. We will give God to God what is God's. That's us. We belong to God. So shall our life be placed in safety with its full rights in the creature. God is going to do this. He's got this planned. And he looks at us and he says, I've got this ready. Are you ready? So we'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.